All right. So what we're going to be focused on this evening primarily is the famous statement of Rabban Gamliel Hayah Omer. That's what we're going to really focus most of our efforts on. And in order, however, to understand the context of Rabban Gamliel Hayah Omer, what we're going to do first is just look at the Haggadah very briefly from the perspective of history. And I guess the very first thing to say is that the Haggadah is a multi-layered document, and it's the product of numerous Jewish cultures, both in Israel and the diaspora. Okay? And as a result, it probably can be viewed in a very realistic way as one of the most important, if not the most important, post-Tanakh work that we have in the Jewish world. That's basically how I would look at the Haggadah. Now, what do I really mean by that? Is it more important than the Mishnah? Is it more important than the Gemara? No, of course not. Is it more ubiquitous than either the Mishnah or the Gemara? Absolutely. Right? Until 100 years ago, okay, there wasn't a Jewish home that didn't have a Haggadah. And so basically, what the idea that I believe is very crucial is that one of the reasons for the popularity of the Haggadah is that I think it contains the hopes, the visions, and the story of our people, past, present, and in many ways even future. We've talked about that as well. In order to figure out what I was going to talk about, I listened to my shiur from 2013. And don't get too scared. I didn't actually sit there and listen to the whole shiur. I listened for 3 minutes. Oh, that's what I was talking about. I listened for another 4 minutes. Oh, that's what I was talking about. You know, zip, 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 zip. So I knew what not to repeat. So I noticed that in the shiur that I gave in 2013, Rabban Gamliel had very short shrift, about 6.5 minutes. So that then will turn out to be what we're going to really discuss tonight. Okay, so if you look at the top of the page, this page here, and by the way, this distinguished-looking fellow is Rav Eliezer Yehuda of Oldenburg, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and we're going to be using a passage from one of his Shilot and Tshuvot momentarily. But before we do that, look at the very top. It says, Rabban Gamliel Hayah Omer, Kol Shelo Amar Shlosha Devarim Eilu B'Pesach Lo Yatza Yidei Chovato. Okay? This is straight from the Mishnah. Straight statement. The Mishnah is in Daf Kuf Tet Vav Amud Aleph Anta Amud Bet 116 A and B. The translation goes like this. Rabban Gamliel used to say that anyone who does not mention these three things, and as you all know, it goes on to talk about Pesach, Matzah, and Maror, anyone who doesn't mention these three things on Pesach, lo yatzei yidei chovato. He does not fulfill his or her mitzvah. Whatever that mitzvah is, and that's going to be up for grabs in a moment. Before we talk about that specific question, I just want to point out, this is probably the absolute oldest part of the entire Haggadah. Okay? And it's also, obviously, because of its age, it has a word that we've all heard today. It's used in the world of work. It has a lot of gravitas, a tremendous amount of import. Okay? So it's a very, very important thing. Now, given that I learned a new Hebrew word today that's used in Israel. Rivadim means layers. Okay? In fact, it does come up partially as rovdim when you do a search. So I have two Israeli friends on Twitter that are, you know, frumies and would not laugh at me because I'm an American. and that's my Ivrit is American Ivrit. So I asked them, if I want to talk about layers in the Haggadah, what word do I use? And it is the word rovdim. So one of them was a very good teacher, and he goes, rivadim is better. Okay, which means you don't use rovdim. But he was being very nice to me. So basically, since the Haggadah is made up of layers and layers, looking at Rabban Gamliel as the oldest layer, in a sense, is a very centering kind of experience in the Haggadah. Some of you may say, well, it's toward the end, before we're actually even involved with the meal and so on and so forth. But really, what's at the end is really the beginning of what you and I would call the Haggadah. And if you look in Arvei Pesachim, which is the perek in Shas that deals with everything to do with the Haggadah, this is, in a sense, where things begin. You have the Mishnah about Manishtana, and very shortly thereafter, you go into this. Okay, with that in mind, let's go back to what we said a moment or two ago. We said, Rabban Gamliel Haya Omer, Rabban Gamliel used to say, Koshul Omar Shlosh Devarim Elu V'Pesach, which of course was Pesach Ma'aser Morah, Lo Yatzei Yedei Chovato. So what chova? First of all, what's a chova? An obligation. So which chova does one fail to fulfill? So you have two possibilities. Okay. Go what? Say again.
Sipur Yitzhiyat
Mitzrayim. Right. And that's the one that jumps out to me, is Sipur Yitzhiyat Mitzrayim. Absolutely. But there's another possibility. You're all familiar with the idea of juxtaposition, one thing being next to another. So, given the juxtaposition, following the words Lo Yatzei Yedei Chovato of Pesach, Matzah, Maror, you would theoretically consider that as to what is being referred to in the statement. And actually, some very, very, very major people, in terms of Meforshim, both on the Mishnah as well as on the Haggadah, and everybody who was almost anybody, wrote something about the Haggadah. Okay? So they actually argue. The Meforshim argue. Are we talking about what Naomi suggested, Sipur Yitzhiyat Mitzrayim, which is the mitzvah of the night? Or are we talking instead about, specifically, Pesach, Matzah, or Maror? In other words, let's see how the read goes in both cases. If you say, Ram Gamaya Omer Kol Shelo Amar Shlosha Devarim Elu B'Pesach Lo Yatzadei Chovato of Pesach Matzah Maror, entirely possible. Or, of course, the other thing is, Lo Yatzadei Chovato of what? Sipur Yitzhiyat Mitzrayim. Okay, so let's take a look. Let's look here in the Tzitz Eliezer. Okay? Tzitz Eliezer, as you notice, I gave you a little bit of an idea of who he was. This is directly from Wikipedia. He's really one of my great halakha heroes. As some of you know, I've published in the field of biomedical ethics, and in each one of the articles that I published, I relied very heavily on the Tzitz Eliezer. Okay. Quite often, the Tzitz Eliezer and Rav Moshe Feinstein, and both of them, Zichronam Livracha, would have different views, different ideas. It would have seemed to me, perhaps it started earlier, but with Rav Waldenberg, as well as Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, I think you began to slowly but surely get a separation between, in a sense, the Piskei Din of Medinat Yisrael and the Piskei Din of what was going on in America. And in fact, even today, if you ask a question about Israel, you will very often be told by an honest rabbi, your LOR, well, that's a question that really needs to be asked of Israeli poskim, because they understand the cultural milieu, the realia of what it is to be living in Medinat Yisrael, whereas we understand what's going on in Arzot HaBrit, or at least we think we do. Okay? So with that as the introduction, the beautiful thing about this Tzitz Eliezer is that he actually brings two Mephorshim, major Mephorshim, heavy hitters, the Meiri and the Teferet Yisrael. I mean, really major figures that come out on the side that when Rabbi Gamliel says what he says, Lo Yatzi De Chavato, it means very clearly the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzirah Mitzrayim. So, in other words, if you don't go through the whole thing of Pesach al Shema, and we are going to do that, so you don't have to feel bad that you brought your Haggadot. We are really going to do that. But if you don't go through the whole thing, and you don't understand it, then there's a problem in your fulfillment of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzirah Mitzrayim. Now, also, my Rebbe's grandfather, Gaon Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, who lived in 1853 to 1918, said this, that Rabbi Gamliel is really discussing the idea of Tamei HaMitzvot, Shel Oto HaLaila. That really what's going on is that Rabbi Gamliel is providing reasoning, the rationale. Now, rationale here isn't a pejorative, but it means the underlying reason. Okay, he's providing the rationale for each one of the major food substances of the Haggadah, okay, that we're going to see later on from Rav Soloveitchik, my Rebbe, have really a very unique idea. With that as the preamble, let's take a look inside. So the Tzitz Eliezer says, Nirin hadivarim shimakuvanim lezeh gam divrei hamiiri. And the Meiri was more or less following along the path that I've suggested, that in all likelihood, Lo Yatza Yedei Chavato is referring to Sipur Yetzirah Mitzrayim. Meiri lives in Italy, 1249 to 1316. So we're looking 13th in the beginning of the 14th century. What does he write? Ki kotev lefaresh kavana shelo yatza yedei chovato. And here's what he said. Rotze lomar shelo hiflig besipur zeh bekedei haru'i. So when how would one fail to fulfill the obligation of speaking about the three things on Pesach if he failed to speak at length, okay, regarding the overall story, okay, and particularly the stars of the story, Pesach Matzah Maror, okay, and he goes on and he explains that. V'hainu shelo yatza yedei chovato b'haflagat sipur ha'agadah. He really will not fulfill his mitzvah of Sipur Yetzirah Mitzrayim if he fails to give a proper story of Yetzirah Mitzrayim, so that ultimately what will transpire, whether you're a young child who's very physical about the story, or you're adults like us, there'll be a lack of re-experiencing. And the whole razon d'etre, the whole purpose of the Haggadah and of the whole night of Pesach, especially when we don't have the Korban Pesach, is to re-experience Yetzirah Mitzrayim. It was even easier with the Korban Pesach, but now we, in a sense, have to make up for that. Okay? Interestingly enough, the idea, unusual word, haflagat sipur ha-haggadah, right? Haflagat sounds very much like what? Haflaga, right? The Dor HaHaflaga, the confused generation, which of course was the generation of what? Of the Migdal Bavel. Okay, they were all confused. They didn't know what they were doing in a certain way. So based on that, using this really unusual word, you're going to have a haflagat sipur. Your story is going to be incomplete. And that's why you won't fulfill the mitzvah. Okay? So far, so good? Vayin gab teferet Yisrael. Now, teferet Yisrael passed, we don't know when he was born. We do know that he passed away in the latter part of the 18th century. Okay? One of the major mephorshim on Mishnah. World famous for that. since the earliest time. So he wrote this. Remember I told you before that this Ketta, this section of Rav Gamliel Haya Omer, is really in the Mishnah, even though it's, you know, recorded in the Gemara. So on the Mishnayot, he wrote this. He says it's also very similar to the Kavanah, really, of the earlier statement of the Miri. And he says this, Rotzeh lomar, lo yadsa yidei chovato, meaning what? He says it explicitly, doesn't he? Chovat hagada. You haven't been magid. Since, of course, Rabban Gamliel Haya Omer is part and parcel of the essence of magid, if you don't do it correctly, you haven't done Haggadah. V'lo kiyem mitzvah min ha-muvchar. Okay, now this is very interesting. So, it's... You really aren't Yotze, but the question really means, if you're not Yotze, does that mean you're not Yotze at all? Difficult to say. For example, how many of you have a 2 or a 3 year old grandchild of some sorts, or a 4 year old or a 5 year old, right? Something along those lines. So we all know, and you've heard this over the years, that if the kid goes, "What's this? What's this? What's this? What's this?" and you give that child answers, have you fulfilled V'igadata Levincha? Yes, you actually have. So that's why it's so important what the Tiferet Yisrael says, V'lo kiyem mitzvah min ha-muvchar. Okay? Now, here's where the Tzitz Eliezer himself comes in. U'mitoch zeh she'anu ro'im she'atiferet Yisrael hirchiv, which means to join. Since we see that the Tiferet Yisrael joins, upiresh, and explains, inyan shelo kayam mitzvah min ha-muvchar, he throws that in. Shezel lo musav al etzem mitzvah Pesach matzah amoror. It can't be talking about that. So he sort of puts in that what?
There's more.
100% talking about Tzipor Yisum, that's right. Ella, and here that's why I put it into bold. Shezel musav al yitziat yidei chovat ha-gadah. So in this great multi-year battle. It's a battle of the ages. I'm talking about, you know, I mean, if I opened this up, and this has like 40 different mafarshim on, you know, like on each page, okay? So I opened this up, and I would look at, you know, Rabban Gamliel Haya Omer, you'd see major, major figures say that, no, Pesach Matzah Morah, major, major figures say, no, it's referring really to the Sipur of Yitzhak, that's right. And in our own day and age, relatively speaking, the Tzitz Eliezer passed 10 years ago, approximately. He came out clearly based on, again, some of the heavy hitters, the Meiri and the Tiferet Yisrael, okay, telling us clearly that that's what we're talking about. As you suspect, and if you did suspect this, good for you, I maintain that it's really talking about Tzipor Yisrael, that's right. So this fit very well with my attitude. And Rav Soloveitchik, my Rebbe Soloveitchik, we're going to see shortly, also very strongly believe this. Yes?
Okay, so normal, most households, the husband or the head of the house is the one telling the story.
Yes.
Everybody else is listening. So does everybody each have to say Pesach Matzah Maror, number one? And number two, are women obligated as well?
Women, and this I did in 2013. Okay, because
I'm senile.
Okay, you're having a senior moment. Okay, women are absolutely 100% obligated from Aleph to Tav in every single aspect of Seder night, every single aspect of the Sipur. I can't tell you how many times that when my kids were very young, I would wait and then I would, you know, and sometimes we'd wait a long time until Arlene could come back to the table and so forth. I took it quite seriously, okay? It's an explicit Gemara in Sachim, Daf, Kuf, Chet, Amud Aleph and on the top of Amud Bet, where the idea of Heim Hayu, why it says Heim when it should be Hain, but okay. Heim Hayu Ba'oto Hanes. They were in the miracle. And, as we've discussed, whether it's Hanukkah, whether it's Purim, whether it's Pesach, I would put it in very much stronger language. For example, what do we say about Pesach? Mishum Nashim Tzidkaniyot Nigalu Avotenu Mimitzrayim. Well, the short part of that is there wouldn't have been any Avotenu if it wasn't for the women and the mirrors and all that, okay? When, you know, of course, everybody has a different family, but it was the women in this case who had an absolutely we're not giving up attitude. Because after all, think about it. When Amram was Poresh, right, from Yocheved, right, when he was Poresh from her, who had to get them back on track?
Miriam.
Okay? And what happened, of course, when, don't forget who Amram was. Amram was the Gadol Hador. Well, if the Gadol Hador was Poresh, so we have to do that too. Okay? And that's exactly what took place. And then little Miriam, probably at that point wasn't all that little, but Miriam said, are you serious? That's going to be the end of the dream of the Avot, right? That's the end of everything. No. So Amram, so that's why it says, right, that someone from Beit Levi, Lakach, right? What does Lakach mean? He remarried her. It's not that it was the, because they already had a kid, you know. So he remarried her. So then everyone said, oh, Amram remarried her? We're going to remarry too. But that still didn't get things, what's the best way to say it? Moving along in the proper way. So that was up to the women, the heroic action of the women. Okay, and that's part of the story, really, of Shir HaShirim, which is another reason why we read Shir HaShirim on Lil Pesach, if you have not collapsed into your matzah ball soup. Okay? That is still another reason. And that's part of, not only is there a love story between God and the Jewish people, but it's really singing the praise of women who were able to continue the greatness of Klal Yisrael. Okay? Without them, wouldn't be here. And then again, Purim, that's a no-brainer. You know, oh, women were also involved in the miracle. Really? Also? Okay? And then, obviously, Hanukkah, Yehudit, and so on and so forth. So the short answer to your question is, everything and anything on Pesach night. Okay, even if you're really tired, women are equally obligated. Okay? That's, I don't make the rules, but that is the rule. All right. Now, Rav Soloveitchik described the Haggadah, and I was zochet to be at this shir. It's the first time I heard Rebbe Amori was in 1977. The main hall at YU was overflowing. I was in the Beit Medrash, and thank goodness they had a good audio hookup. And there, that was the first shir of Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal that I heard. And it was transformative to the highest degree. I can't tell you how excited I was. As some of you know, I have many of the Rav's shirim in my archive. So I was going through different shirim, different years. And finally, you know, I come to this one shir and I start listening and I go, oh my gosh, that's the shir I was at in 1977. And I remembered it and I felt like I was back there, and there I was back in my late 20s or whatever. And it was a very exciting kind of experience. So here's what I heard the Rav say at that shir in terms of the broad story of the Haggadah. And it's the way that Rebbe spoke, so let me give you his exact language. The Haggadah is the story of Jewish destiny for all time. The eternal story of an eternal people. What a beautiful, beautiful way of saying it. Remember, this is not his first language, okay? But what a beautiful, beautiful way to say that. Let me share another idea with you. And this gets slightly complicated, but we're going to go slow, okay? The Rav also said this, Sipur Yetzia Mitzrayim is a blend of storytelling, Torah teaching, and eating symbolic food items. Hold that in your mind, symbolic food items, because it gets very fascinating. It's a fusion, again, not my words, it's a fusion of the spoken word and the physiological functions of eating and drinking, the intermingling of physical pleasure with Torah debate, the combining of the word of God with an activity motivated by a biological pressure, namely eating, and characteristic not only of man, but of animals. That was one of the big things for the Rav. Those of you who read my Divrei Torah, you'll see I talk about Kashrut and Kedusha this week, and I quote the Rav there. And how does the Rav describe Kashrut? He said the major purpose of Kashrut is Kedusha of the goof. Okay, that it's we're being sort of roped in and said, you know, you can't do everything physical that you so desire. So I don't have to tell you, it's not much of a leap. You heard what I just said. Compare that to the society in which we live today. Okay? Because what kashrut is, on the eating side of the equation, okay, you already know there's many other laws regarding the other aspects of quote-unquote biological pressure and so forth that are very clear. And what the Rav says here is as it's the combining of the word of God with an activity motivated by biological pressure and characteristic not only of man but of animals. But animals don't have our rules. And he says, eating the paschal sacrifice, that means the Korban Pesach, matzah and morah constitutes a double mitzvah. The mitzvah of achila, physically consuming these items, is per se a religious performance. Okay, but eating the Pesach matzah and morah is also the instrument or medium of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. Let me say that one more time. This is fascinating. Eating the Pesach, I remember when I heard this, it's like changed my view forever. Eating Pesach matzah and morah is the instrument or medium of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. What does this mean? What does this mean? So the Rav used the expression in the shir. He said, do you know what Pesach, Matzah, and Morah are? So everybody, of course, you know, started shouting, Rebbe, it's this. And, of course, nobody got what he was going to say. He said that Pesach, Matzah, and Morah are magidim. They're telling you the story as much as the Haggadah itself. How's that possible? Okay. So the Rav was very fond of looking at two words that sound very similar. One is Nisa and one is Nose. Nisa is object. Nisa is subject. Okay? Nose is subject and Nisa is object. So how do we normally look at food? As objects, right? I buy it. I cook it. Well, I help cook it, and so on and so forth, right? So can I pick it up? Can I move it? Can I sell it if I want? You know, it's a true object. So that's a Nisa. But what happens is there's a transformation on the night of Pesach. That matzah, that maror, that Pesach is something new. It says Rav Soloveitchik. It's no longer just an object of food, but it's actually joining you symbolically as one of the magidim, as one of the tellers of the Pesach story. It's a huge, huge chiddush. Go ahead. Yes.
Why don't we eat matzah and maror in the beginning? Why do we wait till almost the end?
Ah, okay. What's the key about real estate being location, expensive,
location.
Right? So the key is very good question. You asked a very good question. So the key about Pesach, Matzah, and Moror is context, context, context. You can't have a context for it unless you've built the story. If you will, what's the whole entire Haggadah? It's a symphony. It's a symphony. And one of the steps leading up to the final climax of Magid, where we talk about Shir Chadash, which is the, as we learned together several times, the messianic aspect of the night. So just before we get to that, we have, right, Ram Gamliel, then we have the Chaldor Vador, then we have the, right, we have Hisha Amda and so forth, which is earlier, but the same theme. And then, of course, we finish up with Shir Chadash. Okay, so you need the context, and that's really the key. It's a very good question, though. Okay, so is everyone very good at this point? Everyone understands the role then that Pesach, Matzah, and Mor really play? Okay, are there any questions so far? Would it help if I summarize, or we're all good? We're good. I didn't go too fast. All right, good. Now, so all of you feel really good about bringing your Haggadah. Please open it up to Rami Gamliel. Hayal Mer.
I didn't know if everybody
else had
the Pesach stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Anyone not have a Haggadah, or everyone has?
I have one.
Okay. So, obviously, we're looking toward the end. And does everyone have Rav Gamliel Haya Omer? Everyone? Anyone not? All right, we're good? All right. So now we have, to use the word I just used with Naomi's excellent question, we have context, context, context. Here we go. Rav Gamliel Haya Omer, Kol Shlo Amar Shlosha Devarim Elu B'Pesach Lo Yatza Yedei Chovato. And we all know what that means. Two possibilities. Ve'ilahim Pesach Matzah U'Maror. All right. Now, this part is very, very, very important. It's often, unfortunately, the time when many people will leave the table and they make sure that the gefilte fish is ready and all that stuff. It's not a great idea. This is the time where if you're going to be at the Seder for anything, you should be there for now. So, Pesach. So, and of course, by the way, you do not raise up the Seder plate. Right? Anyone want to know why? Or anyone not know why? Okay, you don't want to raise... Well, we do raise a Seder plate. We raise a Seder plate for Maror.
How big is the cup?
Right? And all of that. So we don't raise a Seder plate for Pesach because we don't want anyone to think that that little shank bone is maybe an illegal korban. Right? Now, that's what we do. You know what they do in Italy? You know what the Italian Jews do? Bedafka b'leil Pesach, they have roasted meat. Not chicken. Bedafka. How, why? I don't know. I don't know.
They,
isn't that interesting? They, and some people suggest that the Italian Jews may be the most Palestinian, in quote, not the way they use it today, but in other words, having come from Palestine, Israel, original Israel. Okay, which means that what? When the Churban Bayit Sheni takes place in 70, a lot of Jews were taking to where? Rome. And a lot of those Jews stayed in Rome, even when it was a time when they could leave, and they developed the Roman Jewish community, right? And so forth. Which is one of the reasons why historically the Vatican has always had its Jews. You've all heard that. Throughout most of history, the Vatican had its own little enclave of Jews that it took care of. The Vatican believed that you needed to have Jews alive because they had to be alive to bear witness to certain events that they thought would transpire. Okay. Be that as it may. So we don't raise the plate. No one should get confused. So Pesach Shayu Avotenu Ochlim Bizman Shebet HaMikdash Haya Kayam, the Korban Pesach that our forebears ate at the time that the Beit HaMikdash stood. Al Shema. How come? Al Shema is really, you'd say in modern Hebrew, Madua, or even simpler Hebrew, Lama. Right? That's the way, you know, you'd hear somebody in the street talking. So the answer is, Al Shum. Because Shepasach Akadosh Baruch Hu al Batei Avotenu b'Mitzrayim. So always remember, Moshe appears only one time in the whole Haggadah. Everything is Akadosh Baruch Hu. Lo Ayadei Malach, right? Lo Ayadei Saraf, and so on and so forth. Ela Akadosh Baruch Hu Bikvodo, right? Hotzianu, and so forth. So that's the same thing here. And notice, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He. It doesn't say Hashem Elokeinu, but it's really, in a sense, connecting us to one of the modalities we should have in mind of how we should appreciate Hashem on Leil Pesach. Okay, Rabbi Soloveitchik Zatzal said, on the night of Pesach, man is intoxicated. He's intoxicated with God. Okay, not from wine. He's God intoxicated, and so if you're God intoxicated, so maybe you're willing to go that next higher level to what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not just Yud Kei Vav Kei and Elokeinu like we say every day, but an appreciation that it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so what did he do? So he passed over. Okay, he passed over the houses of our forefathers in Mitzrayim. Okay? Now, what did we do to notify HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Malach HaMaved that these were our homes? Who remembers?
The Da of the wood.
Right.
From the carbine.
Right. Aren't you guys really glad that was only in the time of Pesach Rishon? Isn't that great? Otherwise, can you imagine? Okay, so how do you know HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this? Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Ve'amartem, and you will say, henceforth, Zevach Pesach Hu LaHashem. So this is a Korban Pesach for Hashem. Okay, so it's interesting. We use the terms initially of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and now we're saying for Hashem. I share Pasach. Why? Because do the words HaKadosh Baruch Hu appear in Chumash? No. I don't think they appear anywhere in Tanakh. So it's later Rabbinic Hebrew. But in the Torah, you're going to see Yudke Vavke. So it says, V'amartem, Zevach Pesach Hu LaHashem, Asher Pasach Abate B'nei Yisrael B'Mitzrayim. He passed over the homes of the Jewish people in Egypt, and he did not strike them. Benagpo et Mitzrayim, when he struck Egypt, v'batenu hitzil, but our houses, right? He saved. V'yikod ha'am v'yishtachavu. And when that happened, what did they do? They bowed down. They bent their knee, they bowed down fully.
They knelt, right?
They knelt and then they bowed down. V'yishtachavu, it was like, right? Yishtachavel Hashem b'har HaKodesh. Right? It's to, they prostrated themselves fully. Okay? If you've ever seen the Arabs, when they pray, they go all the way.
Isn't that what we're going to do in the Beis
HaMikdash? Oh yes, we're going to do that again. Okay, we have a remez of it when Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, when we fall Korim. Okay, so this is a pasuk from Sefer Shmot. Okay, one of the questions that's often asked is, you want to know the Pesach story? So let's just start reading Parshat Bo. Right, and we'll read the parts of Shemot, we'll do Bo, and Gunak Shain. What do we have a whole Sefer for? So the answer is, like Rav Soloveitchik said, you need all aspects of study. And if you look in the Haggadah, you have all parts of Tanakh represented. And then you have Mishnah, and so forth. And Mechilta. All of this is represented. Okay. So that's Pesach. So matzah zo, she'anu ochlim al shema. Why do we eat the matzah? Okay. By the way, it's interesting to note, our matzah probably does not look one bit like the matzah from the Egyptian experience. It probably, according to most scholars, looked a lot more like a pita, an unleavened pita.
Isn't the Yemenite matzah a little bit like that?
Exactly. And a lot of people say, I got to get a heter.
Yes.
A lot of people say that. And apparently, as one gets older, it becomes more and more difficult to actually chew that matzah. So. Uh-huh. But at any rate, we Ashkenazim probably can't eat it altogether. As far as I understand. So anyway, matzah zo shanu akulim al shumah. Why do we do it? Al shum shalo hispik, but sekam shal avotenu. Because there wasn't enough time for the dough of our forefathers, the hachmitz, to rise. Okay, ad shenigla aleihem melech malchei amelachim hakadosh baruch hu, until hakadosh baruch hu revealed himself to them. Uga'ala. Okay, this was not one of those moments where you could say, hold on, I just have to finish an email. Okay, this was kutcher brichu bikvodo va'atzmo, and this was it. It was, as they would say in Brooklyn, now or never. Okay, that's the moment. It had to be now. So how do you know this was the case? Again, the famous pasuk. V'yofu et habatzek, and they baked the dough, asher hotziu mimitzrayim, that they took out of Egypt, ugot matzah, cakes of matzah, or matzah cakes. Why? Ki lo chametz, because it didn't have time to rise. Ki gorshu mimitzrayim, they were driven out of Mitzrayim. Remember, by this point, the Egyptians did not want us there.
But they had time to gather jewels.
Right. That all took place. That was a fulfillment of what? The Brit Ben Abatarim. They're going to go out B'ruchosh Gadol. Right? So yes, they had time for that. But that was all prior to HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually doing the absolute straight out revelation. We're going now. Okay? But basically it was sort of, they prepared themselves.
Why would they consider the yeast like Yetzahara?
Okay. Good. That's a very good question. So, I keep my finger in the place. So, why? So, the answer is this. What does yeast do?
It makes it soft.
It makes it rise. It adds, you want the chemical reaction?
It's all these little bacteria, right?
Okay.
That as part, right, as part of what they're doing, give off a certain kind of gas,
right,
that causes the
bread
to rise. Okay, so lahagbia, to raise up, which sounds not dissimilar to the word ga'ava. That's why.
Okay.
So chametz, right, is really the idea of ga'ava. In other words, ki lo chametz, it didn't. It's not just talking at this point about the ugot matzot. It's just that we completely put ourselves symbolically before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and at that moment, there was no gaiva. There was no gaiva. Correct.
The absence.
Exactly, and that's why. Okay, and then of course, I'm not. This is all without drushes. I can give you drushes from today until tomorrow. That's not what we're going to do. All right, so they were driven out of Mitzrayim. V'lo yachlu l'itmameya. Very interesting word. And they weren't able to linger. Okay? They realized, everybody realized, this is it, now or never. V'gam tzeda lo asu lahem. And they had not prepared any other food. So this is what they had. So this is why, and of course, again, Leil Pesach is a time of re-experiencing. So when we eat the matzah, we're re-experiencing. Unfortunately, we don't have the Korban Pesach.
Was that partially a test of who goes for Hashem? If they go, like, right then, or if they stay behind?
Probably so. After all, the famous pasuk Chamushim alu mimitzrayim, right? Mm-hmm. So Chamushim could mean Chamishim, a 50, right? A fifth went out, rather, Chamushim. Or it could also mean a 50th. So in other words, it could either be just 20% of the Jewish people left. Everybody else said, no, I got my business here. My IRA, I can't stay, I can't leave, right? That's one group. Okay, and then you had either 20% or only a 50th of Klal Yisrael that went out. So it was a real separation. All right, last but not least, Maror Zeh, okay, She'ano Oklim al Shumna. So maror, of course, has what word in it?
Mar.
Mar means?
Bitter.
Okay? So maror zeh shanu aklim al shuma. Why? Al shum shemeveru. Okay? Ha mitzrim et chayei avateinu b'mitzrayim. They made our forebears as miserable as could be. You know what I think of course, I'm sure some of you think of it too. They gave us the kind of work very often, like the Nazis, Yimak Shimon, would do. They'd have to carry a boulder from one side to the other side, and then they'd make you do it again, and back and forth, and so on and so forth. Yeah, that's the kind of work, because we'll see right now what the word was. They gave them very physically taxing work, b'chomer, right, in uvlanim, all kinds of mortar and brick, uvechal avodah b'sadeh, and backbreaking labor in the field, eit kol avodatam asher avdu b'hem b'farach. So, you know what it is? It was work that was meant to break the spirit. Okay? Now, at a time when gender roles were incredibly defined. You know, there was no such thing as a woman executive. Okay? It didn't exist. Okay?
Or
a woman, you know, doing quote-unquote a man's job or a man doing a woman's job. So as you know, Befarech, one of the ways it's defined is what? Is that the men got stuck in quotation marks. Don't take it the wrong way. Okay, this is how it's explained. The men got stuck doing the women's job, and the women got stuck doing the men's job. But the whole idea really was for what purpose?
Spirit.
To break the spirit. To break the spirit. And that enables us to conclude Rav Gamliel Hayomer. Hopefully we have some new insights into it. It's great import. And this year, when we say it at our Pesach table, God willing, it should have new meaning. Next week, which will be our last session before Pesach, I'm going to do different selections, not quite in the same depth that I did Rav Gamliel, but we'll do some very specific kinds of sections, such as B'chol Dor V'Dor, Chayav Adam Lirot Et Atzmo, and we'll be doing a number of other things. So if you have a particular favorite that you'd like me to do, all of you have my email. You're welcome to email me and say, Rabbi, I can't imagine Shir next week without Halach Ma'anya, or whatever it might be. And we'll see if we can fit it in for you, okay? Thank you very much. And thank you for inspiring me.